times the kids are dismissing, if you would please open to the book of Exodus chapter 20. We're continuing on in our study of the Ten Commandments. We're going to be looking at the third commandment today. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Very simply stated, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We'll be taking a look at this here in just a moment. When I was a boy, my dad, as I was becoming a teenager, told me, "Now you've got my name." He said, "If you do anything that's going to put a black mark on my name," he said, "you might as well just go ahead and call yourself by a different name. Don't tell people you're my son if you're going to do something that's going to disrupt my name." Now, my dad didn't have always the best reputation. I mean, he was honestly a little higher in his own thoughts than he ought to have been until he got saved. That's when he humbled himself. But the reality is, he made a good point. We all bear a name. Everyone has a last name. My children carry my name wherever they go. Do you know what that is an indication of? That they're going to carry me wherever they go as well. There's no way of disconnecting the fact that my children started off with Patty and I. And there's no disconnecting the fact I started off with my mom and dad and so on and so on and so on. The heritage goes all the way back. One of the things that the Duncan family, and I'll just a little boasting here, is boast a lot about, and I've heard it many times at family reunions, that our name, the Duncan name, goes all the way back to King Duncan the First in Scotland. I'm happy about that. I'm rather boastful about that. Until I met a friend. A good friend of mine, Dan McCown, who traces his heritage all the way back to a fellow by the name of Macbeth. Anybody know the story of Macbeth? He killed King Duncan the First of Scotland. Dan and I are still good friends. The war has not continued. So he didn't let me boast about my name for too long. But the fact is, there's something about the name of God. And God gives us a command, so simply put, and yet so absolutely essential to understanding what it is in relation to Him that we're meant to be. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Let's pray. Father, we bear the name Christian. And it is the term used to identify us with Jesus Christ. And it's my prayer right now, Lord, that if we have borne that name amiss, if we have misused that name and held it incorrectly, that you would forgive us. And draw us, Father, to a life that lifts up and exalts the name of Jesus, that does not misuse His name, and that through us, the name would be exalted. In His holy name, we do pray. Amen. Alexander the Great, story that I read, was a certain man in his army who also carried the name Alexander. His name was Alexander. This man had a reputation for cowardice. Alexander the Great heard about this and finally got back to him that it was disrupting not only this man's life, but the entire push that Alexander the Great was trying to have. People were getting discouraged because Alexander the Coward was among them. And so Alexander the Great called this man into his presence. And as Alexander came into the presence of Alexander the Great, of course he humbled himself before Alexander the Great and said, "My Lord, what would you have me to do?" This is what Alexander the Great said: change your cowardice or change your name. Do we bear the name correctly? What is this about the name of God that is so powerfully important that God had to include in his list of specific commands in relation to him that we shall not misuse it? And we'll talk about what that means here in a moment. But the first thing I want us to see is the importance of God's name. The name of the Lord your God. What is in a name? Let's take a look at some of the names of Jesus, some of the names of our Lord. He is called Creator, and he's called Savior. Hope you can see that. He's called Mighty God. He's called Judge. He's called Jealous. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's called I Am. These are the names of God. And this is not the complete list of them. This is just a quick study of the scriptures that I found these names. The name of God, he is our banner. He is our salvation. He is our provider. He reveals himself as a God who provides. He is our peace. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Do you know what's in a name? The name of God, the name of God represents his character and nature to his creation. God reveals himself through his name, and any attempt to misuse his name is a distortion of who he is. In relation to God's desire for us to know him correctly, he has given to us his name. Moses comes along and he says, "Who shall I tell the people sent me? I need a calling card. I need you to tell me who you are." And God gives perhaps the most profound, and I would say with certainty, the most profound name ever spoken about himself. "Tell them that I am sent you." The self-existent one. The eternal one. The always. The never had a beginning and never will have an ending one. Tell them that that's who sent you. When we go through life and we call ourselves Christian, and that term was first found, I believe it was in Antioch, where they were first called Christians. It was a term of derision. It was a term of slander. They were saying, "Oh, you guys just think you're a bunch of little Christs running around being all goody two-shoes." Today, and perhaps you've gotten this, I know I've heard this before, but you're just holier than thou. Anybody ever been told that before? Raise your hand. You've been told, "Yeah, just holier than thou." Well, it always depends on who the thou is. If it's the thou talking to me, it might be true. It's not our holiness. It's not our righteousness. It is God. And anytime people come in contact with God, when they start to recognize who he is, he reveals himself through his name. He begins to reveal himself to people. And it may be that they don't want that revelation to be made known. They don't want you to bear out witness of Jesus Christ in your life. They don't want you to live up to the name that he's given you. You know, it says in Revelation that he's going to put on us a name that he alone knows. You ever wondered why Simon was named Peter? Why Saul was called Paul? You ever wonder why God shifts a person's name? Why James and John were called the sons of thunder. Everybody thinks John was this kind of sappy, huggy, feely kind of guy that leans on the breast of Jesus all warm and cuddly. He was a son of thunder. And Jesus recognized that. He was the one who said, should we call fire down on this Samaritan village and leave them all in cinder and ruins as a testimony to your great power? No, John, that may not be the best way to save them. He was a son of thunder. Simon was called Peter. Little stone. A chip off the old block. Off the mountain of Christ. You are a stone carved off the mountain of Christ. Jacob. He who grasps the heel. Technically, one who trips others up is now Israel. He who contends with God. What name has God given you? It's one that is from Him. His name is a name that bears testimony to His character and nature through your life. You call yourself by the name of Christ. You call yourself a Christian. You are telling the rest of the world that there is something about me that is remarkably similar to Jesus. We bear a family resemblance. There's something about that name now that holds meaning and purpose to me. I don't call myself a Christian simply because it's what I think all Americans are. And I'll tell you what, when I was 18 years old, when I was 19, just joining the military, they asked me, what religion should we put on your dog tag? I wasn't saved. You know, I told them, oh, I'll just put Christian. You sure you want me to put Christian on there? Sure, absolutely. Everybody in America is a Christian. You know, you're an American. You're a Christian. That's kind of what we are, right? That's a far cry from the truth. I wore a name that did not represent me. I misused the name of God. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the fact is, this commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, is that if you attempt to misuse, it's a distortion of who He is. Call yourself Christian. And do not live up to that title. It's a distortion of the person of God. It says this here in Malachi. My name will be great among the nations. From the rising to the setting of the sun in every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name. Because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. My name will be great. The representative of me, my presence in the world, my revelation of myself will be great. If we do not exalt the name of Jesus, we are misusing it. If Jesus, and I think I shared this story with you before, but there's some new folks here that haven't heard it, so it's new to you, so that's okay. The rest of you just meditate for a minute. I was driving along in a car with a fellow who was driving. He was actually in the driver's seat, and I was in the passenger seat, and fortunately we were on the highway. I couldn't just jump out. And so we're driving along, and where I was telling him about Christ, the Lord Jesus. He says, oh yeah, I know the man upstairs. The man upstairs. I said, who's that? No, we're not in a double-decker bus. There's no man upstairs. He said, you know, J.C. Julius Caesar? Who's J.C.? I said. You know, the big guy. The big guy, I said. Who is the big guy? He could not bring himself to say Jesus Christ. the Lord of glory. He could not bring himself to say God the Father and Creator of mankind. He could not bring himself to elevate the name of God. He had to bring the name of God down to where he was comfortable using it. Now, in some respect, and don't get me wrong, he was not saved, and so there was no real regard for God and Christ at all, really. He just kind of thought he knew the saving grace of God, but he didn't. He just talked about it a lot. He certainly didn't live it out. But he didn't even know the King of Kings. Now, I didn't express to him my disappointment. That wouldn't have been any good to try and share the gospel with him. Like I said, though, we were going down the highway, I could just jump out. But I was convinced at that point that something has happened when the church fails to elevate the name of God. That the world around us now can see the church and think that God is small. Little book that I've got in my office. It's titled, Your God is Too Small. I think I got it in my office still. I may have loaned it out. But the premise of the book is that the church needs to wake up to the magnitude of God again. And God reveals himself through his name. You get to know God by his various names. And if you want to know God, I really encourage you to go through the scriptures and start exploring the names of God. And you'll start finding out that through the names of God, he has revealed to you who he is in such a marvelous way that you will not help but want to gravitate closer and closer and closer to him. That you just can't help yourself but want to draw nearer to him, to get to know him more. Start discovering who he is through his names. The Lord our banner. The Lord high and lifted up. The Lord our provider. The Lord our shield, our fortress, and our very great reward. The Lord exalted. On and on and on and on and on and on does God reveal himself through his name. And when we understand that, this command makes a whole lot of sense then, that you shall not misuse the name because it distorts who he is, which brings us to the integrity of God's people. The integrity of God's people. This is a command given to the people of God. Remember, like I told you before, all of this is built out of the reality that God has delivered them from slavery. This is all built upon the redemptive relationship he now has with his people. He has redeemed them from Egypt. He has given them now his law so that they should have a foundation upon which to relate to him. That they should have a relational aspect now with God. And all of these things are about relationships, including this command. And it brings about the need for the integrity of God's people. You shall not misuse. Now, the Bible in the King James says, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The term to misuse or to take in vain is to lift up as if it has no value, substance, meaning, or power. If you call yourself by God's name, it must show up in your character and your conduct. To misuse or to take the name of God in vain is to lift it up as if it has no value. That is, it really has no importance to you. And this is where profanity comes in. Anybody ever heard the name of Jesus used as a swear word? The name of God used to condemn? In the classic, and forgive me, and for those of you listening to the tape later, forgive me, but in the classic sense of this word, when people say God damn something, you better be careful, because he might. That little four-letter word that we use as a swear word, D-A-M-N, comes from the term condemn. Do you want God to condemn something? When you use God's name in vain, as if it has no value, and you throw it out as a swear word. That's what you're asking him to do. You cannot hold God's name without knowing its value. As if it has no value, as if it has no meaning or substance is the next one. It has no substance. It's empty. You just throw it on any old way you want to. It has no substance, really. It's a misty cloud. It just kind of drifts on by. Yeah, we call ourselves by the name of God, but really there's nothing substantial to that. There's nothing meaty to that. There's nothing mighty to it. It's just what we call ourselves. We're Americans. We're Christians. That's what we are. And there's no substance to it then. No value, no substance, no meaning. It's empty or void of any real meaning. It does not reveal anything. And no power. You can call upon the name of God all you want, but there's nothing there. That's to take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Is to hold it, to lift it up, as if it has nothing of importance to you. And if you call yourself by God's name, you had better understand that this quality ought never be found. The misuse of his name ought never be found in the lips and the hearts of God's people. Do you cringe when you hear somebody take the name of your Lord in vain? I mean, you don't hear people going around using the name of Buddha as a swear word, do you? No. Why? Because he doesn't exist. Oh, the person existed. The godlike divinity of Buddha, nothing. You know, you don't see people swearing by the name of Krishna. If you don't know what Hare Krishna is, look it up online. You don't see even people swearing by the name of Muhammad. What would a Muslim do if you did? Kill you. To take the name of their God in vain is a death sentence to their religion. Now, as Christians, we ought not be going around killing people that use the name of God in vain. But we ought to go around with our hearts broken for them, knowing that they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that they do not hold dear the name of God. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, it'll be given you. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. We'll get to that in the end. It is not silver and gold that we have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, said this apostle to a man who was crippled on a mat. How close do we hold the name of Christ? Or is it something that we take in vain? In Ezekiel. And I want you to turn to Ezekiel, please. I believe it's Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. We're going to start with verse 22, but I want to chase it a little while. Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 22, therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Does the church profane the name of God today? Certainly he's talking to his people here in Ezekiel. They have profaned the name. God had scattered them. Why did God scatter his people? They worshipped and served created things. They made idols and swore by them. They defiled the temple. God had had it up to here with his own people. And off they go, scattered among the nations. And Jeremiah tells them, when you get there, settle down. Build houses for yourself. While you're in a foreign land, live as if you still belong to God. I'm paraphrasing that out of Jeremiah 29, I think it is. God tells the people through Ezekiel, got a problem here. Not only did you profane my name in the land that I gave you, you've taken your profanity and brought it with you. You didn't even recognize my judgment when I scattered you abroad and I sent you to foreign lands where you were governed and ruled by foreign people. You've profaned my name there. I'm going to show myself holy through you to them. And it's not because of you. How does he show himself holy? By redeeming his people. By drawing them back to the land of promise. By purifying them. He says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh in verse 27. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I will redeem you out of the land that I've sent you. And I'm going to give you the ability to uphold my holy name. I praise God that we have the Holy Spirit to give us the power to have the integrity to lift up and exalt the name of Christ. We couldn't do it on our own. And that's just a reminder to the very first message that none of this can happen without God. None of this can happen without his redeeming work in our lives. This third command, to not misuse the name of God, is so important to God that you have to take a look at his injunction here. Look at the injunction of God. Our third and final point. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I struggled with that. So does that mean that a person who uses God's name as a profanity is doomed to hell? Is that what that means? And as I researched and studied and I looked into this text, it's a striking remarkability that it's exactly what it means. Because a person who can profane the name of God doesn't know the saving grace of God. Anyone who does not know Jesus Christ is without salvation. And anyone who can profane or misuse the name of God does not know his name. A Christian may accidentally swear. I mean, you hit yourself in the thumb with a hammer, and there might be something coming out of your mouth that you wished it didn't. And that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to taking upon yourself the name of God in a way that profanes it. In a way that remarkably demonstrates that you have no regard for God at all. It's not just the accidental, casual swearing he's referring to. Yes, it's a part of it. But it's bigger than that. It's more profound than that. It's saying that I'm going to take upon me the name of God and I'm going to use it in a way that's counterintuitive to who he is. To give you an example of what I'm talking about, I watched this video, and I think a lot of us may have watched this video, but it was a video by John MacArthur, Does the Truth Matter Anymore? And he was showing vignettes of churches down in California. And upon some of these vignettes, they were showing the reader boards of some of these churches. And some of the churches were lifting up worldliness in the name of Christ. Not that people who are worldly could come and find Christ, but people could call themselves Christians who were still worldly. The one that was most remarkable was one that said something, and I can't remember the exact terminology that was used, But basically, your homosexuality is accepted here. Something to that term, that idea. Well, you know, I was asked one time when I was in California if I would kick a homosexual out of church. Well, by no means would I ever do that. That's ridiculous. The one place he needs to be, maybe, is right in the middle of the church where he can hear about God and repent and turn and be delivered from sin. So I was asked, so you don't hate homosexuals? No, I don't hate anybody. I don't have enough time to spend hating people. I'm going to probably live another 70 years and that's it. That's not much time. So do you think homosexuals are saved? I said, I think they are if they repent and turn to Jesus. I said, I'm not going to embrace a worldly standard in the name of Christ. That is to misuse or profane His name. Up here, one of the big issues in our culture up here is gambling. It's huge up here. You can't drive 5 miles down the highway without seeing 3 casinos. And the people of God, who call themselves by the name of God, go in to participate in a situation like that, not for the purpose of bringing the gospel there. I mean, that would be one thing. I've been in casinos. I was preaching a revival in Vegas. If there's a place that needs revival, it's Las Vegas, Nevada. I mean, my goodness, they need the Lord. And I'm down in these casinos, and I'm going through with my Bible, and I'm in Caesar's palace, of all places. I felt like Paul in Caesar's palace. And I wasn't chained to a Roman guard, praise God, but I was certainly chased out by one. Oh, yeah. The reality is, if you're going into these casinos around here, if you're going into the bar here in town with your Bible and the gospel in your heart to tell people about Jesus, God bless you. And go with courage. And when you get thrown out, I'll be out on the sidewalk waiting for you if you want. But that's not what they're going in there for. And they misuse the name of God. Because they uphold it in a way that's counterintuitive to who He is. It's not who God is. And they misuse His name. And it's an indication that they do not even recognize His name as holy. They do not recognize His name as exalted and lifted up. That they can carry upon themselves the name of Jesus without carrying upon themselves the life of Jesus. And that is not what God intended. The severity of God's judgment from this command is indicative of His elevated name. If you take God's name in vain, you show you have no comprehension of who He is and no regard for His holiness and His grace. Amos says this. Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. This is what the Lord says. For 3 sins of Israel, even for 4, I will not turn back my wrath. They trample on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed and so profane my name. You can read all of the things if you want to. That's not the entire text. You can go to Amos chapter 2 if you want and find out all the things that Israel was doing. I just highlighted a couple of them. Trampling on the heads of the poor, denying justice to the oppressed. And God says, you've profaned my name in doing so. This command brings us to the pinnacle of knowing God. Because once you get to know Him by name, it is a relationship that is profoundly, or will profoundly change your life. If you know anybody by name, it's an indication that you know them personally. I've been asked many times, well, do you know this person? Well, I don't know him by name. I know him by reputation. I've heard about them, so on and so on and so on. There are a few people, and I like to do a little name dropping when I'm in the right circles, that I do know by name. I know them personally. I've interacted with them. They know me. And that's something that's remarkable. And that's the way it is with God. If you know Him by name, He knows you. It's a regard to your relationship. And this is the pinnacle of coming to understand that you have to have a high and holy regard for who God is. That's why this command is here. It's not just to give you some injunction that you can't go around swearing. I mean, don't go swearing. The Bible says you shouldn't go swearing anyway. This is so that you can recognize the exalted place of God and lift up His name, which is holy, and recognize that this command is meant to bring you to comprehend who He is. It's not just about giving you some challenge to avoid swearing. It is about bringing you to a place of recognizing God, because His name is His revelation. We're going to close with this word, and it's out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This is about our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is, you can read the verses just before this, verses 6 through 8, talk about His humility, talk about His sacrifice and His willingness to die on the cross for our sins. And so it says in verse 9, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Where do people bow to the name of Jesus in heaven? That's those who are redeemed. That's all of the angelic host who remain with God. On earth, that's those of us who are here. We got this round little ball we're floating around in space on. People say, I wonder if there's a spaceship. Yeah, it's called Earth, and we're floating around in space on it. Everybody here, 6 billion plus people, that's all of us. And under the earth, that's everybody who's died and departed from the presence of God. Even in hell, people will bow to the name of Jesus. Though they will not bow in redemption and recognition of His authority and sovereignty and His grace and mercy, they will bow because they must. If you don't yield yourself to God willingly, you will be forced to yield to Him anyway. It sounds pretty harsh. You know, God sounds pretty mean. He's going to force me to bow to Him? No. But once you see who He is, if it's too late, it doesn't matter. You will know who He is. And you will bow. Not in salvation. Not in surrender. But in recognition of Him. His name. Have you ever gone through the Scriptures and just looked at how Jesus referred to Himself? Before Abraham was born, I am. Oh, there's that again. He is the exalted, everlasting God. I am the gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I would challenge you and encourage you, just take the four Gospels and spend the next month or so just finding out who Jesus is. It may surprise you that after a month of exploring His name, how well you've come to know Him. Let's stand and pray.